Well, last week it was a wake-up call for the Pacific Coast, a series of fairly strong earthquakes, a couple in California, a couple near Haida Gwaii. How realistic is the prospect of Vancouver or Victoria taking a direct hit by the big one that they keep talking about? Well, we're joined in studio by TRU professor Dr. Bala Nikku. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Namaste.
I need you to get about 12 inches close, just snuggle right up to that microphone, mm-hmm. so we can hear you. It seems like Vancouverites are somewhat resigned and maybe even indifferent when it comes to earthquakes. Should they be?
I think they should be because they're right on the seismic fault and the whole Vancouver Island and Vancouver. The city, basically the port cities are all actually vulnerable to earthquakes and also tsunamis.
Yes.
Tsunamis are basically earthquakes that happens on the seafloor.
Yes.
It could also happen because of volcano eruptions and also landslides. But I think earthquakes are the most visible and now the new normal actually. So people are aware of this. So yes, Vancouver Island, all those port cities, should be aware of this. It's okay. Happening.
So you're not a seismologist, but you study the politics of disaster. Is that correct?
Yeah, very much.
Okay,
yeah.
So I don't know if this is outside your realm, but I've got to ask. Does a series of earthquakes along the same fault in short order like we've seen, does that lessen the pressure and in turn lessen the chance of further quakes?
What I read and what I kind of been reading, though I'm not a seismologist interested in disasters, I know should know the science of disasters, the science of risk. So what they're saying is this is a subduction zone, and there are two fault lines there, and they're basically the pressure is building up there because there are two ways that can earthquakes can happen. One is the horizontal ways, the other one is subduction ways, meaning one earth crust goes into the other, So, and there is a friction, and then there is this energy released. So looks like everybody's talking about the big one, which is due in 300 years, and the last one happened in 1700. And if you look at the last, 20-30 years, the number, the frequency, the nature of earthquakes are increasing in that region. So basically, it's going to happen, whether we like it or not.
Right, just a matter, it's not if, but when. Does Kamloops in the interior, do we need to pay attention to the activity that's been happening along the coast?
Yes and no. Yes, because even I think for the recent last week, tsunami, I mean, it's not a tsunami, it's just an earthquake because it happened in the shallow waters, otherwise it would have been a tsunami, basically. People in Kelowna also reported some kind of, tremors.
Yeah.
That means we are all in the same plate. But I think Kamloops is much more vulnerable to landslides and also wildfires and basically a disaster.
Right. With the buildings that do come down in California and in Japan, are they usually the ones that haven't had significant seismic upgrades?
I think that's what they're talking about. It's not the earthquakes that kill people. It's not the disasters that kill people. It's the mismanagement of the disasters. It's the lack of, policy implementation, the building codes or resistant buildings, is what matters, So the kind of houses, the kind of, schools, hospitals, the critical infrastructure that we built long ago, like 200 years, 300 years ago. And that time, I think seismic, science was not that, accessible.
Yes.
So the kind of buildings we've built is basically may not be earthquake proof or earthquake resilient, In that sense, yeah, we need to look at these buildings, and there is a lot of science available to look at these buildings, and also there are a lot of retrofitting can be done, and these buildings can be made more earthquake resilient. But the new buildings, this is where I think we have a chance to make a difference, The new buildings should be built according to the earthquake, resistant and resilient models. And there are schools that are already being built in Nepal and other places, which can sustain the 9, magnitude.
Right. Okay, let's get into your field of expertise then, the politics of disaster. Worst case scenario, say Vancouver was hit by the big one, 7+, and would it be any different than the scenarios that we've seen in other major centers?
I think the scenario will be much more serious. When I say this is, I'm a newcomer to Kamloops, newcomer to Canada, but I've been reading about this Vancouver. I mean, if you look at BC population, it's about 5 million people. And if you look at Vancouver Metro, it's about 3.5 million people. So more than half of the population lives in that little, you know, space. So it's high density. I don't think buildings are really built, you know, earthquake proof. We don't have evacuation routes. I don't think, you know, 70% of people, I've read a report, are not really prepared. They don't even have an emergency kit. 40% of people don't even have an insurance for a building, for example, because earthquakes can also cause, you know, fire damages. The gas leaks and the road ruptures, you name anything, those few seconds changes, you know, bring back the country to another 50 years back. That's what happened in Nepal in 2015 earthquakes, where I was part of it. I've been studying those. So it is not it's the level of development of a country. It's all about preparedness, basically. It comes to preparedness. We can actually have a lot of forecasting, a lot of prediction. I think science gives you those things. But, you know, these things should be able to help us to prepare communities. This is where the social work comes in. This is where the green social work comes in. What I'm arguing is it's all about preparedness.
Right.
The more you prepare, the better you can deal with these disasters. Then they won't call disasters. They're just hazards. We can stop them there. If you don't stop them there, then it becomes disasters. Then they become, you know, catastrophes, and they become calamities. And media loves it, I guess. So politicians loves, you know, these kind of good disasters, because that's where the political base, that's where the, you know, political. So this is where then it becomes disasters, becomes, you know, a colonial or you know, disaster capitalism, disaster corruption. Yeah, we can talk about this. But right now, BC should be, you know, kind of invest a lot more into preparedness, a lot more into preparing our young people, you know, like people talk about, you know, a sleep, hide and cover, you know.
Yes.
It works, but if tables are better. In Nepal, maybe, you know, many children actually died because they did the same thing, but those tables were not strong enough to so they died. So
right.
We need to really prepare our young people, people with disabilities, women, children. Yeah, we have a lot more vulnerable population to reach out and prepare them so that we can deal with the disasters better.
Right. Well, fascinating stuff. I appreciate your time this morning. Really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for having me. And thanks to Radio NL for having me. I think media should be playing a lot more role, because you have the capacity to reach out to people.
All right. Well, that's why we're having you in this morning. Thanks. There's Dr. Balanikku from TRU.